your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is May 12th, 2021. Today is officially the day that the NFL schedule will be released for the regular season. Very excited about that, but I'm also very excited, very pumped up for today's show, so definitely going to get into it right about now. Coming up on the show today in segment number three, calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number. Got a ton of response to Tuesday show talking about the defense and if the Raiders have done enough to be a top 20 defense. Now, that's not what all the calls and texts are about, but did get a lot of feedback directed to that question and directed to that show. So I definitely appreciate that. Got some people hit me up on Twitter at your boy Q254, and you can do that at all times as well. And I'll try to hit you back as soon as possible. So definitely appreciate all that. So you'll get some calls, you'll get some texts, and I think you'll even get a tweet or two on segment number three, or coming up in segment number three of today's show. Segment number two, I've gone back and forth in my mind of what I really wanted to do. I had another radio hit on Inside the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor from Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday. Really good conversation that I want to bring to the table because it has to do with the defensive side of the ball. And basically the same thing we were talking about on the podcast on Tuesday, I talked with Vinny on Tuesday evening. And so it's like, man, this is great, you know, and it could lead into some of the calls and texts in segment number three. But then there's also another subject that I'm very passionate about for multiple reasons that popped up on Tuesday that makes me feel like I just need to go in that direction and talk about this. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to hold off on the radio hit I did with Vinny Bonsignor, and I'm going to talk about the fact that the Oakland A's, that's right, baseball, and I know everyone's not a baseball fan, and that's okay. You don't have to be for this subject, but the Oakland A's are possibly leaving the Bay Area, and they may end up in Las Vegas, similar to what the Raiders did, similar to what the Warriors did. And so I just want to talk about that as a Bay Area dude, as an Oakland dude, as a guy who loves all three of those teams, the Raiders, the Warriors, and the A's. Just want to talk about that and how it pertains to the Raiders and them being in Vegas first. And so we're going to do that in segment number two. Going to talk about the breaking news that happened on Tuesday that came out, Major League Baseball allowing the A's to search for other markets to relocate to because why they can't get a stadium in Oakland. Sound familiar? Yeah, kind of thought so. So that's going to come up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, news and notes of the day and some other stuff that I collected throughout the course of the day, including some audio. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And first and foremost, I mentioned at the top of the show that today is a day that the NFL schedule is going to be released. So let's go ahead and start there. Eddie Brasili from SiriusXM, he's a producer on SiriusXM Radio, said that the Raiders, he knows that the Raiders are playing week one Monday Night Football at Allegiant Stadium. He put out on Twitter, Raiders will host Monday Night Football week one in Vegas. Don't know the opponent just yet. And this is a standalone game on Monday Night Football week one. No more doubleheaders, which has been eliminated by the NFL. It's only going to be one game on Monday Night Football. So he said Allegiant Stadium's going to be rocking. Well, Raider Nation, if you remember, and I'm not saying this is 100% correct, but we had Jazzy from the Bay hit us up on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line and said he has already found out that the Raiders are going to be hosting the Ravens week one. So, I mean, right now it sounds like the stars are aligning. Eddie Brasili from SiriusXM said the Raiders are going to host Monday Night Football week one, and Jazzy from the Bay, who also let us know that Alex Leatherwood was going to be the pick for the Raiders, at least the tackle pick, ended up being number 17 overall. He says that it's going to be the Ravens. So later on today, depending on what time you're listening to this, we'll find out if these guys are right. But it looks like, and this is really the only leak that I've seen so far, it looks like the Raiders will probably be hosting Monday Night Football versus the Ravens week one. It's going to be a heck of an event. The Allegiant Stadium, like Eddie said, is going to be rocking. So just kind of look out for that. And of course, on Thursday's show, we'll be talking nothing but the schedule and looking at the schedule all kind of different ways. We'll be upside, downside. You know, when's the bye week? Where's the cold weather games? I mean, there's going to be so many things to talk about on Thursday's show that has to do with the schedule. So that is going to come out a little bit later this evening. Another piece of news that rolled out on Tuesday, Raiders related, is that they signed wide receiver Caleb Scott. That put their roster at actually 90. They actually have 90 guys on their roster right now after the signing of wide receiver Caleb Scott. The Raiders put out an email saying that the Raiders have signed free agent wide receiver Caleb Scott, 6'2", 203-pound wide receiver out of Vanderbilt. He joins the Raiders after making stints over his first three seasons in the league with the Seahawks from 2018 to 19, the Packers in 2020. He was originally signed by the Seahawks as an undrafted free agent following the 2018 NFL draft. He has not appeared in any regular season contest. So there you go. Wide receiver Caleb Scott added to the roster, making their total go up to 90. And of course, he's not a guy that I expect to be a major contributor for the Raiders. I'm sure that he's going to get a bunch of reps in training camp, be able to let some of the veterans have a little bit of time off and still be able to get out there and get some work. I don't expect him to be anything more than that, a camp body. They'll let him go after that as a guy who's never made it into a regular season game. But still, he's getting another opportunity and he's getting it with the Raiders. So that's cool. I also wanted to share a couple pieces of audio that I heard and I held on to. Matter of fact, I heard it on, I believe, Tuesday evening. Maybe it was Monday night. I don't remember. Either way, the days kind of all run together. But I heard it, and it really pertained to what we were talking about on Tuesday's show when it came to the defense and what the Raiders need to do defensively to take that next step. And obviously, that's the big elephant in the room. We've been talking about it for now 3-something years, maybe even 4 years. I mean, this is my fourth season doing this podcast, so I think we've probably been talking about this the whole time. But newly signed Casey Hayward, defensive back that used to be with the Chargers. He knows Gus Bradley's system. He's a veteran. He was on SiriusXM radio on Monday, and he was talking about signing with the Raiders and the fact that he wasn't really worried about the deal getting done. He knew it'd get done. He trusted his agent. And then he just talks about the defense and what he could bring to the table and why he signed with the Raiders, what he thinks that they need the most. Check it out.
You know, I wasn't worried. My faith, I got good faith. My agent, you know, telling me, you know, we could have been signed if that was the case. But mm-hmm. we wanted to wait and figure it out and, you know, try to be in the best situation. I felt like the Raiders was the best situation for me. And as a team, I feel like they just missing a few pieces. They were really good on offense last year. They put up 30 points a game. Now it's about the defense. If we can, you know, hold teams to 20 points and we score 30, we're going to win some of those. We're going to win most of those games. So we got to do a good job on the defensive side.
How big a challenge, Casey, do you think it's going to be for your teammates to get caught up to speed? And what are some of the things that you can do to help them along?
I think, you know, I guess it depends on the position. It's not going to be super hard on the corners to learn it, but it's going to be hard on us. We got the hardest job. So, I was talking to Mullins earlier, and he was like, hey, when are you coming to Vegas? He wanted to talk to me and things like that. You know, he's learning it. He understands the defense. But it's always some tricks and trades of the defense where you won't have to overthink. And I think when I get there, I'm going to be able to teach some of those guys those things. Like, look, you don't have to just listen to this word, listen to that, look at this and look at that. And I think that'll help some of the guys. So that's what it helped me, you know, for the last four years or so.
So there you go. New Raider defensive back Casey Hayward right there talking about signing with the Raiders. And it's funny, you heard what he said. The Raiders gave up 30 points a game. They had a good offense, but they gave up 30 points a game. And what do they need to cut that back to? About 20. And what were we talking about on Tuesday's show? I was saying cut it back to about 21. You know what I mean? And so we're all on the same page. I think anyone who really has watched the Raiders long enough knows what they need to do. And it was refreshing to hear Casey Hayward say he thinks that it could be a lot less complex. It's a lot less thinking, and they'll be able to just go out there and play. And that's been one of my biggest bugaboos is the fact that they seem like they were out there thinking too much, which made them slow to react. And in the NFL, you can't do that. Now, in college, you might be able to get away with that because you're just better than the other team. But in the NFL, these are all pros, Jack, so they aren't going to be able to get away with that. If you think for 1 second somebody's going by you, it doesn't matter if you're playing corner, if you're a linebacker, if you're a defensive lineman, safety, someone's getting by you. You know, if you're thinking, they're flying by. Simple as that. And so I like the fact that he said that he's willing to help. Trayvon Mullen, that sounds good that he's already been reaching out trying to ask for tips and when is he going to get to Vegas so he could pick his brains. And one thing that Casey said there, and I don't know if you really picked up on it, he said you don't have to listen to the whole thing. Listen for this one word. So it sounds like Gus Bradley is going to simplify things a lot compared to what Paul Gunther did, where it was so complex and there were so many different calls that everyone wasn't able to understand and be on the same page. That's going to eliminate a lot of that back-end confusion that we saw from the Raiders. That is a good, good sign. So that was refreshing to hear. And the final piece of audio I wanted you to hear and the final little nugget I got for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast is from former Raider quarterback Rich Gannon. He's talking about the draft class and the future of the Raiders. And it's funny because what does he go to at the end? He talks about the defense as well. Here he is, former Raider quarterback Rich Gannon.
You know, there's a lot of criticism about the first overall pick and for the Raiders. And look, I think he's going to be a great player. He comes from a great program. It's so easy to get so caught up in the draft and where players are selected. I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to it until we get him in the building, we put the pads on him, we see him work, and we see how they, you know, they fit in. And I just think this is a good draft class, has a chance. I mean, really, when you look at the needs that the Raiders had, continue to improve the offensive line, they moved on from a number of core players there. And then I think defensively, you have to have guys that can rush the passer, and you have to have guys that can cover on the back end. And I think, you know, that's been a real weak spot for the Raiders for the last couple of years. You can't keep giving up 30 points each week and expect to win in this league. And when you look around the division at the team speed of the Chiefs and a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you better have guys that can be disruptive in terms of rushing the passer and guys that can cover. And I think that was a big focus, not only in the draft, but also in free agency. And I think, you know, I really feel like if they can continue to improve on that side of the ball defensively, I mean, the offense is in good hands with Derek Carr and a lot of the young players. I mean, Darren Waller has got a chance to be one of the best tight ends in all of football, right up there with Travis Kelce. And Josh Jacobs is an explosive back. They've got some good young receivers they got in last year's draft. So I think the future is bright if they can continue to improve defensively.
So there is former Raider quarterback Rich Gannon talking to Raiders.com. I believe that was after or at Fred Biletnikoff's actual charity golf tournament that he had. But you could go check that out on Raiders.com if you want to hear more of Rich Gannon. But you see, he's very positive on the future. He's very positive on Alex Leatherwood, doesn't care where he was drafted. And ultimately, at the end of the day, gets back to they could be a good team. The future is bright if they could fix that defense. It's always going to be about the defense. It's got to be. If they want to take that next step, that has got to be improved. And we've talked about it year after year after year. And unfortunately, it's still the big elephant in the room. So it needs to, at some point, be addressed and fixed and got and made better if the Raiders want to have a chance. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about the Oakland A's possibly leaving Oakland. And obviously the Raiders have already made their exit. The Warriors have made their exit. And now possibly the baseball team. Talk about that, let you know about the announcement, and then as it pertains to the Raiders as well. That's coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get in it, though, I do want to tell you about Nugenix. And Raider fans, you need to listen up, because Nugenix is the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, and they're offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. If you want to get yours, all you got to do is text DRAFT to 231-231. It's a complimentary bottle, so that means it's free. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by testosterone. It helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape. Text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Nugenix Total T is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And like the TV ad says, she'll like it too. If you're over 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenix. There's a reason Nugenix has been the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC for years. It's because it works. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. And I know I'm going to take a little bit of a weird twist or maybe a weird turn. Instead of going right, I'm going to go left. But that's okay. Sometimes that's what I do. I just think that this is a subject that I want to talk about that's near and dear to my heart. It's something I'm very passionate about. And I think that it, in some weird twisted way, it all has to do with the Raiders anyway, or it could pertain to the Raiders as well. So on Tuesday, the news was broke by ESPN's Jeff Passan, who covers Major League Baseball like a glove. He does a really, really good job. And he basically put out on Twitter a couple piece tweet. It was like multiple tweets. He said, "The Oakland A's will start exploring relocation possibilities after Major League Baseball suggested the organization consider moving to other cities if the Howard Terminal Stadium proposal is not approved by local politicians." He goes on to say, "While the A's have expressed that remaining in Oakland and building a $12 billion mixed-use development is their priority, the standstill of the project prompted today's move. The leading contender, if the A's do move, Las Vegas. Plenty of other cities would welcome the team too." That is from Jeff Passan from ESPN, who, like I said, covers Major League Baseball like a glove. And so when I saw that news, it was so funny. So many people reacted and reached out to me and were like, "Q, are you serious? The A's are going to be moving too?" And then, of course, you see Las Vegas is basically the leading contender for the team. And I said, well, and I even quote tweeted him and said, I hate to see this. It stinks for the city. It stinks for the fans. But none of this is surprising. None of this is surprising at all because, look, how long was the Raiders in talks with the city of Oakland trying to get different stadiums done? How long were the Raiders coming up with multiple proposals, having multiple developers try to work with the city of Oakland to get a stadium? And so many fans, and look, I'm not going to point the finger and say I wasn't upset. As an Oakland guy, as a Bay Area guy, this is why this is near and dear to my heart. I was one of the last guys that even accepted the fact that they were moving. I didn't like it at all. I didn't want to see the Raiders go to Las Vegas. I wanted the Raiders to be right there in the Bay. And to be 100% honest, as much as my goal is to get to Las Vegas and be able to be in that market, my goal before that was to get back to the Bay for that exact reason because, well, my favorite team was there. The team that I cover is in the Bay, and that's where I felt like they should be. But it's ultimately come down to the fact that the city of Oakland just can't get it done. And look, this is the deal. I'm not trying to point the fingers and say that the mayor and the politicians there in Oakland are 100% at fault. We all know to get a deal done, to get something done, it takes two sides. But for all those folks that just pointed the finger at Mark Davis and said that he was the spawn of Satan and that he was the worst guy ever for taking the team out of Oakland for the second time and that he's just a terrible businessman and, you know, one of those guys that's just going to take the money and run, that's not the case. Because now you see the Raiders have bounced. They're in Las Vegas. Well, the Golden State Warriors, they bounced. They left Oakland and went across the bridge to San Francisco where they're able to get something done. And now the A's, who are the last of the Mohicans to still be in the city, are still trying to get a stadium done. They're trying to build a $12 billion mixed-use development. That's their priority, something that the Raiders were trying to do. And look, I'll tell you this. I'll go to this level, too. The Raiders and the A's don't play nice. They are not friends. You know, the A's put down, and I thought it was a terrible move when they did it. They went and signed a bogus 10-year lease, basically blocking the Raiders out from being able to do anything in Oakland for a long time. So the A's are at blame, too. And so I'm not just saying that, oh, poor A's. But I will say that clearly the city of Oakland can't get anything done, and now they're going to lose most likely a third pro team. I mean, they were cooking with grease, man. They were a smaller market city, not the Bay as a whole, but city in Oakland, and they had three pro teams. And I just said the other day how much money, how the Raiders have increased the value of their franchise 117%. They're one of the top three. Who is the other one? The Warriors. They increased the value of their franchise 147%. Why? Because, well, they're winning, and then on top of that, they got a brand new stadium built. And then the Rams were the other team that had increased their value of their stadium. Guess what? Oakland could have had that revenue right there in their market if they could have figured out how to get this done. So now, what's going to happen? Most likely, and I'm not saying it's a done deal because, I mean, there's obviously going to be a lot of goings-ons before it actually happens, but most likely, in my opinion, the A's are going to end up in Las Vegas. If you don't know, if you're not a big A's fan, they already have the Las Vegas Aviators, and okay, you're probably like, well, who's that, Q? It's a minor league baseball team, and you know whose AAA minor league team that is? It's the A's. It is the A's, and it's funny, Mick Akers, my guy from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he put out on Twitter, he said, it's only fitting on the day the A's relocation talks spark up again that I have tickets to the Aviators Las Vegas game. And, well, the Aviators Las Vegas are the A's AAA affiliate, so AAA, you get to AAA, your next step is the Major League Baseball. So that's a big-time AAA team, and they're already there in Vegas. So why wouldn't the A's end up there? And like I've been saying for a long time, anyone who's been listening to the show for a long time, after I finally came to the understanding that Las Vegas was going to be the destination for the Raiders and that I came to grips with it because I realized it was a good move for them, they were the first professional football team there. Obviously, the Vegas Golden Knights were there before them, but a major sport that everyone covers is, which is football. Then football is a much bigger sport than hockey, even though hockey is still a major sport. I'm not trying to slight them at all. They're amazing with what they do, and I can't wait if I get the opportunity to be in Vegas to cover them. I'm very excited by that, but that's not the point. The point is the Raiders were a big fish in a small pond. Now, all of a sudden, you know, now it looks like maybe the A's are headed that direction. The Golden Knights are already there. The Las Vegas Aces, which Mark Davis owns, the women's basketball team, they're there as well. They're getting an indoor arena football team. They're getting all kinds of, and basketball. They're trying to get a basketball team. And I've heard through the grapevine that there's a good chance that the basketball team's going to end up in Vegas. And I'm not going to sit here and speculate and throw out the team that I've heard is going to end up there. But there's a team that I've already been told is going to end up in Las Vegas. So there's so much cooking in the city of Las Vegas. And now you look back and say, wow, as a Raider fan and as a guy who covers the Raiders, I'm glad Mark Davis got on it early. I'm glad Mark Davis was one of the guys that was able to get Allegiant Stadium, you know, be able to work it out where they were able to get the money given to them. And of course, the NFL gave a little bit of money and they were able to bring some money to the table. But I'm glad they were able to get a deal done in Las Vegas and be one of the leaders of the pack. Again, not disrespecting the Golden Knights. They were there first. They were truly, you know, Vegas's team as they were born in Las Vegas, where the Raiders have been to Oakland, LA, back to Oakland, and now Vegas. So they're not technically born in Oakland or in Vegas. But, you know, the whole thing where the A's try to stick it to the Raiders when they left, oh, we're rooted in Oakland. We're rooted in Oakland. Yeah. How long did that last before they realized, oh, this sucks? This is a bad situation and we're not going to get a stadium. Man, I used to, as a baseball fan, I used to go to the A's games with my mother, with my dad, with my grandfather. My grandfather had season tickets. And I'll tell you right now, before the Raiders returned in 95, the Oakland Coliseum was the place to be. That place was cracking. The team was really good. It was a great place, a great venue to watch a baseball game. You could see the Oakland Hills. It was amazing. Of course, they, you know, renovated things when the Raiders came back in 95 and it changed up the game a little bit. But I'll tell you, man, it just is not the place. It's just a dump. You know, there's another report saying that that whole grounds is not even, the Major League Baseball saying that the grounds there where the Oakland Coliseum is not even reasonable to say that they, if they tear it down and build there, build a stadium on top of that, that's not what they want. They want them to go to that Howard Terminal Stadium, which would be beautiful, man. I've seen the write-ups on it. It's beautiful. But there's no way in God's creation that Oakland and that mayor's office and everyone else is going to approve a $12 billion multi-sport facility. It's just not going to happen. There's no way. So the A's are going to be looking for somewhere. And I'm not saying that it's 100% guaranteed that they're going to end up in Vegas, but with their AAA team there, I do believe they will. And, you know, they could end up in Portland. They could end up in, I've seen like Vancouver. I've seen a lot of different suggestions of where they could go, but I end up ultimately thinking it's going to be in Las Vegas. And that's just the nature of the beast. So I'm really glad that Mark Davis was not so hellbent and said, I've got to be here in Oakland, or I've got to be in California and go to LA. I much rather the fact that the Raiders have their own stadium there in Las Vegas. And yeah, they share it with UNLV, but that's it. They're not sharing it with the A's. And this is the other thing. If the A's end up in Vegas, they're not sharing that stadium with the Raiders. They'd have to get their own stadium built, which again would just increase the value of the team. It would just increase all the revenue going into the city of Las Vegas. I mean, you want to talk about on and popping, it would really be on and popping. But I'm just glad that they were able to get their own building done. They got their own practice facility done right there in Henderson. They were out in front of things. And as much as people goofed on Mark Davis and said he didn't know what he was talking about and that he was just a, you know, a criminal, bad businessman or whatever, and I want to turn my back on the Raiders, you see, it's not just the Raiders. It's not just the Warriors. Now it's going to be the A's as well. So if one team leaves your city, okay, maybe it was just on them. They wanted to go do something. If two, okay, now that's eye-opening. But if three teams leave your city, it's no longer on them. Now there's a problem with you. I mean, it's just simple as that. You can't, I don't care how big of a fan you are. I love the Bay Area. I will always love the Bay Area. I will always love Oakland, California. I got many, many roots there. But I'll tell you right now, it's just not happening. It's just not happening. And unfortunately, there's so many people that are moving out of California now. Hell, I live in Texas. And I promise you now, it's great to sell a house in Texas right now because people from California are coming in and buying them and spending a ton of money on them. I promise you, I could sell my house right now and make a ton of money because someone from California is dying to get out of Cali and come to Texas. I'm telling you, it's just what it is. And I'm not trying to offend anybody at all. Don't get me wrong. Again, I love the Bay Area. I would love to be there. I just know that it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable for me, and it's not reasonable for a lot of people, including the Raiders, the Warriors, and what looks like now, the A's. And that's unfortunate because the Bay Area has some of the best fans ever. Of course, there's a ton of Raider fans there, but there's Raider fans worldwide. I'm not trying to, you know, just act like Raider fans are only in Oakland. But man, the Bay Area loves their sports team something awful. The city of Oakland loves their sports team something awful. And it's just a damn shame what's going on, that they're losing everything that they have. They're losing their identity. That blue collar approach that all the teams have, the Raiders, the Warriors, and the A's, they all got that gritty, you know, edgy, blue collar, you know, always slept on, always, you know, kind of disrespected type edge to them. and now they got to go and go somewhere else. You know, the Warriors are across the bridge in San Francisco. I hate that. I hate that. As much as I love the A's or the Warriors, I hate the fact that they're in San Francisco with a passion. It just feels like everything is evil. Everything is wrong. But they're still in the Bay. The Raiders being in Vegas, I mean, obviously that's a hell of a move. That's a hell of a move by Mark Davis, and you got to applaud him. And now let's just sit back and watch and see what happens with the A's and where they end up. If I was a betting man, I would probably say it's going to end up in Vegas. But again, it's just one of those things. It's a wait-and-see approach. But ultimately, man, Mark Davis, you got to give him his credit. He was out in front of the storm that he saw coming down the line, which was the city of Oakland, and trying to get something done. It just is not feasible. So that's all. I had to riff on that. I wanted to bring to you what I had to say on Vinny's show on Inside the Huddle on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday. But I was so passionate about this that it just stayed in my head all day. And so I was like, you know what? I got to talk about this. So there you go. That's what I got for you for segment number two. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Before we get into that, though, I do want to tell you about a couple sponsors here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. And the first one, I mentioned betting, right? BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sporting action. Baseball season is in full effect. The NBA is getting down to the nitty-gritty, man. It's the last week of the regular season. NHL, same thing. Last week of the regular season. UFC, MMA action, it is all going on right now. So before your team hits the field, go on over to betonline.ag, hit your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Get off the sidelines. Get into the game. Head over to the website. Again, you can use your mobile device or maybe your laptop. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. You got to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% welcome bonus. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. I also want to tell you quickly about Built Bar. And I've been talking about Built Bar for a long time. And right now they're focusing on 9 delicious flavors. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. That's what they're focusing on right now. And it's funny, I actually got an email from Built Bar on Tuesday night, and they had like a limited edition quick sale on Cherry Barcia. So if you're a Cherry Barcia fan, you can go and get some as well. So every once in a while, they send you an email with a little limited time deal as well. But really, those 9 flavors that I mentioned are the ones that they're really focusing on right now. Of course, the bars, they're healthy for you, man. They're good tasting, 100% covered in chocolate, but they're great for you. You know, you can get a great tasting snack that you know that, hey, this is actually good for your body. That's a positive. That doesn't happen very often. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15 will get you 15% off your order. Again, the 9 flavors that they're choosing from right now, or they're focusing on: coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. Either way you look at it, man, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15 will get you 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Segment number three, it's up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Calls and texts and even a tweet straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. And if you're trying to tweet at me, at your boy Q254. Start off with Twitter. We got a tweet from Scott at sdurbin4. And he was responding to the conversation we had on Tuesday's show about the defense and have the Raiders done enough to get that team from a top 25. Well, actually, they were ranked 25th in defense to a top 20 to maybe 18 or 17 ranked defense. And Scott said, I think they've done enough on defense to make them a playoff team if, one, they adjust to the new scheme quickly, and two, they stay healthy overall for the duration of the season. It was that simple. They got to adjust to the new scheme, and they got to stay healthy. That's from Scott at sdurbin4 on Twitter. And thank you so much for that tweet. And the thing about it is, he's not wrong. You know, I like his thinking. I think that they're going to make that scheme so they can adjust to it quickly. I think that's going to be one of Gus Bradley's biggest, things that he does for the team, is that he's able to make that scheme something that is everyone's able to understand sooner rather than later. You know, I don't think it's going to be something where these guys are going to have to think a whole lot, because again, like I mentioned before, if you think, you're slow. You're slow reacting if you're a thinker. A thinking man is a slow man, is what they always say, right? Well, that was shown in Paul Gunther's defense. So that, I think that they'll be able to do that. I think they're going to be able to get adjusted pretty quickly. and then health. It does boil down to health, man. They don't have a ton of depth. They brought in a lot of players, but they didn't bring in a ton of depth where if a guy goes down, you feel confident about the dude behind him. That's the case. That's the problem. And that's from not having multiple drafts that they've got a lot of really good players. They haven't been able to hold on to those players that they've drafted, and they've had to either release them or whatever, you know, and they haven't been able to use them for multiple years. That's where you build your depth, is through the draft. And so they haven't been able to do that. So at some point, they got to start doing that. So thank you so much for that tweet, my man. I appreciate you. Next up, got a quick call from my guy Flavius in Indiana. He's calling in to touch on some of the fan base getting fired up about Aaron Rodgers or Julio Jones. Here he is, Flavius in Indiana.
Hey, dude, it's your boy Flavius calling from Indiana. Hey, I was calling in regards to everybody getting all hyped up for Aaron Rodgers or Julio Jones. I mean, if you look at it, it looks like they're trying to go young rather than old, to build rather than win now. And then also on top of it, everybody wants to discredit what has happened. I mean, Gruden and Carr live side by side, so if they didn't get along or if they weren't close, they couldn't be neighbors. Okay, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that one. Out.
Flavius, thanks for the call, my man. And yeah, I don't think Rodgers is worth talking about. I just really don't. As far as Julio Jones, I will say this. I do think that there's still a possibility that that could be in the works. And I agree that they're trying to get younger and trying to get a lot of skill players in the young, you know, younger guys. But I do think that there's still something in the works with Julio Jones. It's just going to be after June 1st. So we're going to have a couple of weeks to not really talk about anything. I think after June 1st, something gets cooking. I don't know what they're going to be willing to give up, but I know Vinny Bonsignor was very, very, as a matter of fact, when I talked to him about this subject, and he was talking about maybe a third round pick, maybe a third and a fifth, similar to what they gave up for AB. I think that, you know, he's onto something, or people have told him something, and he has good relationships inside the Raiders organization. So that's something I am keeping my eye on, even though I don't think it's 100% necessary, but I can see the Raiders going out and making that move because they really didn't go and attack the skill position outside of running back when they added Kenyon Drake. And yeah, they got John Brown, they got Willie Snead, but I mean like a big time addition. So I could see them saying, hey, this is our big addition offensively, have Julio Jones for the next couple of years. I could totally see that happening. So that's something I'm not ruling 100% out, but thank you so much for that call. Next up, we got a text from Mason in the 937. He said, what's up, Q? Mason from the 937 here. In response to your question on Tuesday's episode, my answer is they have done enough to be better, but I'm unsure of how much better. First of all, getting rid of Gunther was a huge step in the right direction. Too many times I would see multiple guys in the same spot or half the defense shouting before the play, confused on what to do. And don't even get me started on the end of that Chiefs game when Kelce caught that game winner and Damon Arnett was waving his arms around when Abram was nowhere to be found. It was obviously a scheme and coaching issue. And Gus Bradley, at the very least, will make sure his guys know what to do and put them in the right position. So right there, I felt like we got better. But I think it's worth seeing how well Corey Littleton, Nick Wachowski, and Damon Arnett play this year in the new system, as well as the new additions like Ngakoue, Casey Hayward, and all our draft picks. The progression of those guys and how Bradley plans to use them will be main factor in how much better this defense will be. But I definitely don't see this defense as being worse off than last year. That was a mess. But anyways, thanks for all that you do for Raider Nation, Q. Just win, baby. That's from Mason in the 937. And yeah, I think Gus Bradley is definitely going to be a big addition. I really do. And I think that he's going to make it a lot easier for these players to understand what they're supposed to be doing. Not so many blown assignments and not a lot of big plays given up. I think that's huge. Something I touched about on Tuesday's show. I feel pretty good about what Casey Hayward's going to be able to do. And I feel very good about what Yannick Ngakoue is going to be able to do because they've been in Gus Bradley's scheme before. You mentioned Damon Arnett, Nick Wachowski, and Corey Littleton. Those are going to be some of the major keys. Can Corey Littleton be that guy that he was expected to be when the Raiders signed him as a free agent? Can Nick Wachowski take another step in the right direction? And even Nick Morrow, let's put him out there. Can he be another dude? You know, is Divine Diablo going to be a guy that you're going to see be a factor as a linebacker? Or is he just going to be a special teams guy? You know, there's a lot of questions to be answered. I want to see how much Trayvon Merrick is going to help in his rookie year at that back end. I honestly believe he has an opportunity to be defensive rookie of the year. I really do. I have that much belief in him, but obviously it doesn't matter what I think in May. It's what they do in the field in September, in October, in November, in December, in January. That's what really matters. But either way you look at it, I think that Trayvon Merrick is going to be a big time player. So thank you so much for that text, man. I definitely appreciate you. Next up is a call from Rahul in Seattle. He's calling to talk about the defense and something that stands out to him that is frustrating and needs to be eliminated. Here's Rahul in Seattle.
Hey, Q. It's Rahul from Seattle. You had your podcast today talking about the defense. I would say the biggest, most noticeable thing that our defense does is we give up third and long. And I still don't know exactly why we do this so often, but it seems like anytime, you know, we have them in third and long, you know, we should be in a position of advantage, and yet we seem to give up big plays. And, you know, if you look at our defense on first and second down, they seem to be better. They're going after the ball. They're more enthusiastic. They're more energetic. You know, they're making plays, and then, you know, they're showing that they made the play. But then on third down, they look like a whole different team. They look like, you know, tenuous. They look cautious. They look uncertain. You know, they don't look like they're playing free. And you see them on third down, no pass rush. The corners and safeties are eventually running out of coverage, and then they complete it, and then they get the first down. So I think third and long defense is where we really need to make a difference, because it should be easy. You know, third and long, you know the pass. You know they're going to pass. You know they're not going to run. So that should make things easier for the defense, and yet they seem to struggle more than ever on third and long. So, you know, I think that Gus Bradley coming in here, we have to get better on third and long defense, because, man, those are downs that we should be stopping, and those are possessions that we should be getting back. So hopefully, that is a change that Gus can make, because, man, if this team cannot get off the field on third and long or after third and long, then, you know, it's just going to be another long season. One love, Q.
There he goes, Rahul in Seattle. And yeah, man, thank you so much for that call. And that's something I didn't specifically mention on Tuesday, is third and long, but that's a major bugaboo. And really, that's what I consider a big play, because it's third and long and it's a big play. You know, it's like you're supposed to get off the field. You're supposed to be able to, in theory, go back and play the sticks, let them catch the ball in front of you, and then go up and make the tackle. In theory, that's how easy it's supposed to work. But so many times the Raiders were either out of place, they let a little check down, end up going for 15 or 16 yards for a first down. Third and long is a major issue. I really should have pointed that out specifically, but that's a good get by you. And I think that that's something that Gus Bradley did really well when he was in Seattle. I think that's something he really did well in when he was in L.A. with the Chargers, is he was able to get those guys in the right position to be able to go up and make the play on third and long and not, you know, have to give up the first down. And just ridiculous. I mean, that is absolutely unacceptable. You're 100% right. But that all goes back into giving up big plays. And so if they can eliminate that, that'll be half the battle. That'll be a big, major part of getting this defense where it needs to be. So thank you so much for that call, my man. I appreciate you. Next up, and the final one I have for the show today, is a text from Raider Hondo from the 530. He says, "Oh, man, a club inside the stadium during the game. Q, you know what I'm going to say about that. But on the upside, for all y'all that have a bored wife or girlfriend sitting next to you not watching the game, send her to the club. She can hook up with some businessman from Iowa, and they can both have a good time. It stays in Vegas. In a real Raider Nation, word is blasphemy. This isn't baseball, for crying out loud. What's next? A waiting pool with showgirls? Maybe Raiderettes would work." Anyway, that's from Raider Hondo from the 530. And I knew somebody, and I know there's going to be multiple people that aren't going to like the idea of having that little club scene in the stadium. But look, man, it's 2021. It's Vegas. I'm not surprised. Two, you shouldn't be surprised. And I think that it's going to be pretty cool. I really do. I think it's going to be an awesome little event. I actually want to go check it out just to see what it's like. But it is. It's going to be an absolute club atmosphere. And I've been to many stadiums where they have clubs in the stadium, like Jerry's World. It has a bar that is very club-like, where they have, you know, a DJ and they're playing music and they're, you know, shots of tequila and they're doing this and doing that. I mean, they have that. It's just not right there on the field level. But then they have their little suites that are kind of ducked in into the stadium. So they have those as well. So, I mean, a lot of these stadiums are doing it, man. And pretty funny when talking about having a bored wife, go send her there and can hook up with a guy from Iowa. That sounded almost personal, like that's happened to you before. So anyway, man, good stuff. I think that I knew that text was coming from somebody. So I appreciate you, my man. Keep doing what you do. Thank you for chiming in on the show. So, and matter of fact, when you go to the stadium and check it out, man, just go check it out and see if you like it. You might like it. Who knows? Anyway, thank you so much for all the feedback on the show. Appreciate everyone who hits me up by way of Twitter at your boy Q254. And of course, 707-654-4693, the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Still got plenty of calls and texts to get to on tomorrow's show. We'll have more news and notes to get to, and we'll have more conversation for sure. We'll be talking all things NFL schedule, the Raiders schedule, all 17 games. The schedule gets released later on this evening. NFL Network's going to have a big show on it, and ESPN's going to have a major show on it as well. So we'll be talking about it on tomorrow's episode for sure. So until then, Raider Nation, keep doing what you do. Stay healthy. Take care of your family. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.